flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Next, we have a set of pardons for peaceful pro-life protesters who were prosecuted by the Biden administration for exercising their First Amendment rights.
Do you know how many?
I believe it's 23, sir.
23 people were prosecuted. They should not have been prosecuted. Many of them are elderly people. They should not have been prosecuted. This is a great honor to sign this. They'll be very happy. So they're all in prison now?
Some are out of custody.
That was quite a pen that he was working on there. It was like we were chopping wood there with Trump signing the order pardoning these people. Mark Houck didn't go to prison, but did have the potential of that and had his house raided, if you remember, the whole thing that happened there. So who could better speak to? And his was even more minor. The altercation he had with this guy that even Krasner didn't prosecute, and yet the world came down on him. Mark Houck joins us here again on Talk Radio 1210. Mark, welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dom, always for having me. Good to be back.
Now, Mark, as I understand it, the St. Thomas More, weren't they involved with you also? They were the driving force here to get the pardon.
Yeah, Thomas More was great. I signed that petition as well, but they lobbied President Trump to get this this executive order through, and I'm proud to say that our president did the right thing and really showed us how pardon should be used, right? Not like this preemptive type pardoning thing that we saw from the Biden regime.
Yeah, these are righting a wrong. These are, when you have a new president with different sensibilities, that this is pretty clear cut. The overkill of this act, and you had even a more minor thing. These people at least were told, stop, as I remember it, stop praying inside, et cetera, you're going to be arrested. You didn't have anything like that. It was an altercation. Even Krasner didn't prosecute. And then suddenly, you're the focus of people, armed men, coming to your house.
Sure, yeah. Well, look, I'm giving thanks that I was spared with these 23 people were not, as far as from a sentencing perspective. But, yeah, our situation was a little different for sure. Civil disobedience, these folks are mostly engaged in. I wasn't engaged in that. I support that. But yeah, my situation was just process is the punishment. Let's go after whoever we can, see what sticks against the wall. And we were first up because I had a minor involved, my son, my 12-year-old boy. And, you know, we were first up. And frankly, today I'm giving thanks. Today, actually, Dom, is the day 2 years ago today was the start of my trial. So I'm looking at this and looking at my wife and saying, you know what, we could be in prison. And, you know, we're being reunited right now. But, you know, God spared us. And I'm grateful that President Trump is allowing these folks to have that reunion with their family. It's a great day for them. And it's a great day for our country.
Now, Mark, maybe because later on I happened to be driving with my wife and I heard Cardinal Dolan, and I think he was endorsing you on his Sirius show, maybe. But I haven't seen the bishop speak out on this today. And again, this is the type of thing where you could make a point. And one of the things they've been deficient in, we had the second Irish Catholic president, someone who was billed by the media because everybody said that, devout Catholic, and yet was an extremist on abortion.
Yeah. Look, when my situation came down, and Cardinal Dolan did support me after my acquittal, but there's only been four bishops, and I'll include Cardinal Dolan in that because he's still the only fourth bishop that supported me. So I had the blessing of Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, who flew over from Rome to support me, and only two other bishops, local bishop Bishop Joe Coffey here in Philadelphia, auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese Military, and Bishop Joseph Strickland, the now...
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the only ones that supported me, so I'm not surprised. Unfortunately, the pro-life message is one that they scares a lot of them, and it's probably because of lawsuits. Sadly, that's the state of our church right now.
Yeah, and again, you know, they don't have to condone breaking of the law, even if it's technical, even if it's civil disobedience. We all realize if you do that, Martin Luther King realized there might be punishment. But
sure.
I don't see them taking on how fanatical this act is. So what's the strategy to rid us of that? You can't do that by executive order, but as long as Trump's in office, the Department of Justice, I don't think, is going to prosecute people unnecessarily, unless they're really firebombing, violence, attacking an abortion clinic. And we already have laws for that.
Right. Well, Pam Bondi said the same thing. She said it's going to be applied equally. Now, the reality is this FACE law, this FACE Act, should be repealed. Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy, is working to remove that because Clinton put it into law because of the liberal lion Ted Kennedy wanted to come after pro-lifers and protect these institutions that are defending abortion and killing millions of children. So, look, I think what we're going to see is the repeal of this law. But in the short run, yeah, the DOJ wants nothing to do with defending the Biden's actions. I have a lawsuit pending, which I'm sure will get settled. You know, they want nothing to do with it. So in the meantime, though, it does need to be applied equally. And I think we got the right people in place with Akash Patel, Pam Bondi, and a president who obviously feels the same way about this law.
How does Mark Houck come down? And this is where you and I not differed on the philosophy or the life belief on this, but the politics of it. I saw DeSantis today speaking at the March for Life, and he talked about no poll can govern me when it comes to protecting life. And that's noble and correct. But if you go into, you know, what I believe, running for president, I think that he has to move away from that or he'll never be elected president. Mark, do you think politically that's what I'm saying is accurate, even if I know you're on the other side of it? But politically, is it right that someone can run for president and have DeSantis' stance?
Well, look, I ran on that. You know,
yes,
that,
yeah.
Against Congressman Fitzpatrick, and you know, I lost. So, you know, there's credence to some of what you say. However, your principles are your principles. And so what are you if you're not someone who's going to defend those principles? And
right.
So I think there's something more important than winning elections. Maybe you say you win the battle or lose the battle but win the war in the end. But for me, I couldn't in good conscience, and I think any person that is that type mm-hmm. of person, I think DeSantis would be, he's going to stand on his principles. And so, you know, whether they're unpopular or not, that's called courage. That's called being someone who has the ability to lead others in the midst of a difficult situation. So, you know, whether that's a Lincoln or whether that's a Trump, I don't know. But I believe that there is a place for that in our nation. Obviously, we overturn Roe. So our country is moving in that way. In the next 2 years, who knows? We might have the ability to have a president or a DeSantis run for office. Looks like J.D. Vance is a little bit more in line with that, I would say. And he's primed in 4 years to run on those principles, too.
You raised a great one there. Look, I admire that stance, as you know. I just was told the other day, and I'll throw it past you. Of course, we want to beat Josh Shapiro or at least ding him up so he is not the presidential candidate in 2028 because he is formidable in his own chameleon-like way. And people were telling me, well, Dave White really has crossover appeal, running for governor again, union guys, got some money, etc. And I said this was off the air, Mark. Yes, but as far as I know, he still says no exceptions on the issue of abortion, in my judgment, particularly against a guy like Shapiro, you have no shot. So I couldn't endorse him politically, as much as I think he is a very faithful guy, the story with his son. And he's got a lot that would happen. I just don't think we're there politically, particularly against a Shapiro, that you could beat him.
Yeah, I mean, look, you may be right, and yet we're not going to bring about change unless we start voting into office people with those principles, and so it begins at the local level and builds and builds and right. So yes, maybe the climate's not right for that, but we need that opportunity. We need to give that pro-life vote. I think Lila Rose was very good at calling out President Trump, and he backed off a little bit from his position that seemed to be in conflict with where he was 4 years ago. So, and even we saw Melania, his own wife, came out to be very pro-abortion, and you wonder, where is that? So, your point is well taken. However, now that he's in office, I would like to see the Mexico City issue be, eradicated again through his executive authority, mm-hmm. and I think he will do that, and I think we'll start to see President Trump realigning with where he was 4 years ago. However, like you, he's probably was shrewd in getting himself back into office, and now he's going to do what I think he did 4 years ago. But I think we need to be gentle as a dove, wise as a serpent. We need to do what we can to get in office, and we need to help people get in position to make those good decisions
exactly.
for our country and our state.
How is Vance different for our listeners? I saw Vance speaking today at the event in Washington, the annual March for Life. What is Vance saying? You would be more attuned to this. That you think is more pro-life?
Well, look, J.D. Vance is a convert to Catholicism, and he's a new convert, so he's still learning a lot about the teachings of the church and so forth. So I like that J.D. Vance was there. I'm glad that President Trump was supportive of that. President Trump himself did a recording there. But J.D. Vance mentioned my name on the stage and said, no more peaceful men, no more men like this being targeted by the DOJ. So I think what you have in a J.D. Vance is a tremendous leader, obviously a Marine, a guy who understands, Semper Fi, right? Always faithful. So he understands what it means to stay true to that duty. And I think as a pro-lifer, which I would qualify him as, and he ran on that as a vice president candidate, he was always mentioned in our story. So I think, I hate to say it, but I think he's going to be more pro-life than President Trump. He might be our best pro-life candidate we've ever had. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I like J.D. Vance, and I like his stance on the life issue.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you. Thanks very much. Keep us in the loop, of course.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and thanks for covering the story.
All right, Mark Kalk here on Talk Radio 1210. Again, J.D. Vance today at the March for Life. We know how, you have a little bit of that. Okay, thanks, Dan. Here's a little bit of J.D. Vance from the March for Life.
Now it should be easier to raise a family, easier to find a good job, easier to build a home to raise that family in, easier to save up and purchase a good stroller, a crib for a nursery. We need a culture that celebrates life at all stages, one that recognizes and truly believes that the benchmark of national success is not our GDP number or our stock market, but whether people feel that they can raise thriving and healthy families in our country.
That's fine. It just, when we get down to it, I'll say it, when we start moving in on Josh Shapiro, you're not going to win in Pennsylvania, no exceptions, okay? Much as I admire, and Vance didn't get into that there, but that's going to be his angle of attack. People can't afford to get a home. Families can't afford to do that. Last election, people looked at that and said, that's right, and Biden's never going to do that. All right, a couple things. Dan gave me this, and I'll give you the flavor of it coming up. I think the morning show got this from several whistleblowers. Local school district, this is Dan, North Penn School District, which is a school district where there have been difficulties from the, I guess he's the superintendent. He doesn't put superintendent, just respectfully Todd at the end, lays out their positioning on what they're going to do when it comes to ICE, when it comes to illegal immigration, etc. Now, do I see ICE going into schools, taking kids out? No, I don't think they're about that. You see what they've been doing so far. But these school districts are all posing to say they're going to die on this hill. We have one woman teacher on Libs of TikTok enunciating that. So we're going to see about that when ICE comes in. We played you the Bishop of El Paso today, talking about the Catholic Church seeing this as a humanity issue. Humanity, the people that were taken out. There's a viral footage of from the White House of the people we deported being dropped off in Guatemala that people are going to see and going to check that box and saying, yeah, can you imagine these people were here, the damage they were causing or could cause? All that straight ahead. But right now, first, it's time for Dom's Money Melody.
Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
All right, we're playing for a pair of tickets today to see the great Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra Friday, February 1st at the Asplund Concert Hall at Westchester. I'm sorry, I wrote over that. It's not Friday. Is it Friday 21st? The 21st, yeah. At Westchester University. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. All right, Dan.
Yeah, Dom. So me and Henry back here, what we were trying to do today, because we're talking movies, we're talking overrated movies. Well, I don't know much about this particular movie, so excuse me on that one. But we wanted to film or a song that initially began with a film. It started as a theme to a film and then really took off in popularity, and then the film was kind of forgotten about, and the song became a vessel of its own. So, Dom, here's a very popular song, and I want to know what the film was that it was made for. So, Dom, a film that really blasted off the career of a guy that was born here in Philadelphia, becoming a heartthrob. This film really started that whole, you know, trend of him being a poster on a lot of females' walls. But, Dom, I'm going to play a song. Again, we want to know what song, what movie that this song came from. Take a listen. Yeah, we all know that song.
Yes. Hit us with that, and we're looking for the movie.
We're looking for the movie.
Hit us with that. You're off to see Joe Conklin. Be the first one in. 855-839-1210. AT&T, Verizon Wireless. Just push #12.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Damn.
It's the Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's exactly right. All right, here is the song. What movie does this come from? All right, let me try Nick in Delran on Talk Radio 1210. Nick, what's the film?
Hi, it's American Gigolo.
Very nice. Do you know who the heartthrob was in that film, Nick?
Richard Gere.
Yes. And do you know whatever happened to Richard Gere?
I think he became a Buddhist.
Well, that, yeah.
Well, yeah, the Dalai Lama, buddies with the Dalai Lama. But it's also, oh, I don't know, the Communist Chinese Party.
Well, that's why they hate
like
us.
That. That's right. That's why he disappeared, yeah.
I love you guys. I love your show.
Thank you, Nick. I'll put you on hold. Enjoy Joe Conklin. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. That was the first, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Nobody bigger than Richard Gere at one point is the heartthrob in all those films. Had a serious side, buddied up with the Dalai Lama, Tibet. Can't do that with the Chinese. And as a result, Hollywood, suddenly the roles didn't come. I haven't seen him in anything, I don't know how many years.
Yeah. Set in a similar universe to A Taxi Driver, the lead character of Julian Kay there, played by Richard Gere, believe it or not, was first offered to John Travolta, who declined. Christopher Reeve was offered the part, Chevy Chase.
But, Chevy Chase, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, American.
But Richard
jiggle,
Gere was the end of, he ended up playing it, turned into a heartthrob, and a lot of it was because there was, you know, gay themes in the film, and that's why they didn't want to play the character at the time.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get stereotyped at that point in time, going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I mentioned this from the morning show, and thanks, Dan, gave it to me. Couple of whistleblowers talking about the North Penn School District going political and then saying, well, what do you expect us to do? The role of the public school district to pick and choose who comes through our front doors. We are to give our students the best possible education each day. When students arrive on our doorstep, we are to embrace them, this from the superintendent, and work with their families to reach their fullest potential. We've heard from a number of staff members who have shared comments from students and families concerned about immigration enforcement. Now, I don't know why those students would have that worry. That's first. But here's the part that's really obnoxious. And families of LGBTQIA plus students. Now, why? We went through this the other day when we were talking about locally. These, we played you a clip of, it was the bishop. The bishop lecturing President Trump. Where's the anxiety? What is it that Trump, in any way, shape, or form, or any Republicans in leadership, what are they doing that would create anxiety in these students? What they're saying about the transgender issue is the official policy of this country. There are only two genders. You want to believe in another, it's a free country, but officially there are two genders. I'm going to play you in a moment, too, the guy who may take over for Trudeau. This guy, we played a couple of times when he talks to news reporters and throws a, he's very much a Newt Gingrich-like. But this thing put out about the anxiety level at North Penn School District, based on what, when it comes to LGBTQIA+ and all that stuff? Based on what? What is being done to them? Other than we're not putting up anymore with the nonsense, with the bathrooms, and more female sports. Nobody is searching out LGBT kids who are gay in any way. It's not about that. It's about this clear demarcation. The only one raising the anxiety are the people pushing this, like that bishop, saying how anxious everybody is that you're going to strike at them here. In what regard? This is how it's being sold, the anxiety level. And this is a pretty long email that goes on to talk about, there have been articles about gender and gender identity in the news as well. A few weeks ago, there was a federal court ruling that vacated the 2024 Title IX regulations, primarily impacting the protections in place under Title IX for gender identity. When those regulations were passed, we stated they would not impact how we protect our students. We already interpret our policies and procedures such that discrimination on the basis of gender identity is prohibited. Now that the federal Title IX regulations have reverted back to those that were issued in 2020, that is still our position. Well, is that position under current law and regulations? I mean, what the heck is this guy and the superintendent and his faculty members thinking is going to happen from Trump, of all people, around kids that are gay, things related, or faculty, or whomever they're talking about? But ultimately, they're going to have to follow the law. And the law, as currently existed with the repeal of this, a lot of which was done by the Biden people, in the end, thanks to Moms for Liberty and others, is they're not in compliance with it. So if you, in your school district, if you get any of this stuff, let us know. We'll try to shine the light on it. Dan, we should invite him on. You know, are we going to bite? I'd like to know, and Dan, you heard some of this, right, with Dawn. Can you give me the capsule for him? I don't even know what this guy's saying. Oh, you weren't. Okay. Other than beating around the bush about this and telling us about anxiety coming from what Trump may or may not do. What is it exactly? They're ratcheting up this in kids. They're the ones that are provoking this anxiety. Now, he probably feels, well, the staff members are saying all this stuff, I have to address it. How about addressing it that the Trump administration is not going to be doing anything to anybody that's gay here? This is clearly, though, he does get to it, the gender identity. And that issue, currently, we know what the law is. We know what the change from the Biden people back to the Title IX regulations, which protect women. So where are we headed in these school districts? That they're provoking stuff. They're raising anxiety in order to say that they are the good guys. This is Cut 15. Here's a teacher from Libs Up TikTok laying out what she thinks she's going to do if ICE comes to her classroom.
I just want to say with my entire chest and 10 toes down on my broken tile classroom floor that it will be a cold, no, frozen day in hell before someone from ICE comes in my classroom to remove a student they suspect is undocumented. First, because I have no undocumented students. What are you talking about? Second, even if I did, 1982 Plyer versus Doe says that it does not matter. Everyone is entitled to a fair and a free appropriate education. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm so sorry. I can't come to my door right now. We're learning. We're doing class stuff. You're going to have to come back later. And by later, I mean never, because there are hills that I will die on. And this is one.
Okay, then. So the rule of law, who's being taken out here, the stuff that we've seen play out, that means nothing. I played you the bishop, who is the spokesperson for the U.S. bishops in this whole thing. And in a nutshell, he said that a secure border is against some basic tenets of our faith. I wonder if they're going to be saying that over the altar. The problem with the Catholic Church here is they're speaking in vague gibberish usually. In other words, when we asked, are you defending these people among us who are serious criminals being rounded up and taken out of the country en masse, and it's up to about 500 or so. You don't get an answer to that. You get this vague stuff that is the moral high ground they believe. That's what they're engaged in. Sometimes, like Cardinal Dolan, we've played that, they lecture Catholics and tell them, well, your people came here in the same way. Not true, but that's their angle of attack. And the church is compromised because they're getting millions of dollars, or have been, to resettle so-called refugees of one sort or another from the border to places in New York and all over the place. That's going to stop. That money's going to dry up. So let's see what they do. What exactly are they going to do and tell Catholics? Are we going to be told if you're engaged in this with Trump that you're going to be excommunicated, which means you're going to hell? Is that where they're going to go? We'll see. They're going to be challenged, and ICE is rolling on. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. You can get in. If you've seen some of this in your city, your town, your schools, they're ratcheting up anxiety. No one is going to be bothering anybody here. But what this comes down to, particularly, let's start with sports. Yeah, it's over. You are not going to be competing against females again. And if you're not, you have nothing to worry about under this. So let's see what the North Bend School District, which has been engaged in any number of things that have made news here. Weren't they the one, Dan, was it North Penn? I believe it was, where the girl was hit over the head with one of those,
Yeah.
And nobody did anything. There was blood all over the place. This was a student who had difficulties, but instead of just keeping them isolated or sending them home, they allowed them to be in the lunchroom. And allegedly, they attacked. We had that whole thing play out for weeks. So this school district is suspect in this. And they're ratcheting up fear from Trump that's completely irrational. There's not going to be any massive roundup of people based upon their gay or these kids that are. But the transgender stuff and pushing that line legally is coming to an end. That's the bottom line here. 855-839-1210, you get on board. Hit us with that all-time film that you think is a bit overrated or maybe very overrated. Hey, are you looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements using the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals are, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey for better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with that code HEALTH35. And don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue. I know to us this would seem a given, but given how crazy they are in Jersey, Donald Trump is a slight bit more popular than the King of Hair in Jersey. A new poll says that he performed much better than expected in the blue-leaning, Phil Murphy does too. He still has a 44% popularity rating. Trump is at about 48% in this Emerson College poll that's out today. When you look at it going up and down the line, it's women are still the place where Phil Murphy beats out Trump. Survey shows 32% of Jersey voters have a very favorable view of Trump, while 16% view him somewhat favorably, 6% somewhat unfavorably, 39% very unfavorably. For Murphy, 17% have a very favorable view of him. My God, what are we going to do with these people? 27% somewhat favorable, 16% unfavorable, 26% very unfavorable with Murphy. But Trump clearly has a better overall rating than Phil Murphy. I know you can say small favors, but look at where we are. We're in Jersey. It's indicative of what's happening in New Jersey. It's indicative of where we're going with the governor's race. I follow Scott Presler and the others really, really closely, the Protect Our Coast people, and they are all over the place registering people, setting up the groundwork. All we need is to have a relatively normal Republican primary. Whoever wins comes out of that, I think, is going to be in a favorable position. In other words, if they start attacking Trump to whoever the Republican nominee is in New Jersey, it's only going to work somewhat that Trump has gotten a much more favorable positioning than, say, 2-3 years ago. He's not radioactive in Jersey in that manner. I know, how could Phil Murphy have favorability? He's just, it's not even the ideology. It's just the person. All right, let's go to Greg in the Northeast. And Greg, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I actually called in yesterday about the congressman, and I would just say this. It is now in Trump's lap, and I think the drone thing could be very well like a huge distraction and has been or whatever, but now it's up to Trump, and he has two like things to say to us. One is, it is us, and if it is, good, okay, chill.
Right.
Like, that can be a general answer. Like, it is us. We have it. We're in control. But the only other option is, it is not us. And that's when we're going to see the man.
Yeah, and again, you heard the mayor today. That was great stuff from him. He actually said how he was in contact with people. And Greg saying 2 weeks. Why do we need 2 weeks? We've already had, 6 to 8 weeks of this?
I agree. And that anything in between, we're wasting time. Waste my time, man.
No. And
I would say the same to Donald Trump. I would say the same. Like, well, then tell me if you don't know, then you have to pull every resource we have right now until we all figure this out.
That's exactly right. And with Trump there, you would think his instincts would be toward that. But, Greg, I'm a bit disappointed. Now, look, he's doing a million things, like getting rid of FEMA today and all. I get it.
Yeah.
But my instinct would be, as yours is, you know what? This is not just Jersey. This is an example of trust in government. Who's doing this that people don't have any sense?
If this is easy meat, then eat it up.
Yeah.
Well, what are you telling me by not doing it, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to speak on this. He has to speak on this.
The clock is ticking on this. All right, we have a teacher in the area here, Dan, or Henry, who's was a Democrat. Okay. All right, let's go to anonymous teacher here on the Dom Giordano Show. Hi, teacher. Welcome in.
Thank you for having me. So I just wanted to say that I have seen the ESL population in my community quadruple in the past 3 years.
Right.
And it's not sustainable. And what it does is it creates so much stress on the teachers, and it's really bringing down the quality of our education as well. And I love and adore all of the students, but I do feel as though Democrats need to look at what's happening at the border in a logical way. And it's another testament to the divide in this country about how, you know, we can't see the other side. And if Trump says something, it's got to be wrong. And I am a Democrat saying what he's saying is not necessarily wrong. This is an issue.
Well, let me take you back to it. From my years, I taught in Camden, places like this, And it wasn't as overwhelming as what you're talking about. But if I had somebody that spoke English poorly, was just learning classroom, or two or three of them, that is a real problem. And what you're experiencing is it's
six. There's six in a classroom at a time. And that teacher, it's hard because you have, you know, many different groups in the classroom that you're already trying to accommodate. And this is somebody else. So six kids who don't speak English in the class is very, very difficult. And our teachers are not trained and they're not bilingual. And then the students suffer as well.
Yes. And again, there's only a certain amount of energy and focus you can keep all students on. If you're having to move to this in that manner, I've seen it. I had a guy in a class, even a community college, who had an incredibly thick accent. I tried my hardest to communicate, and he wanted to talk all the time or raise questions. I will tell you honestly, I just could not penetrate that. So it wasn't even a lack of English. It was just understanding what he was saying. If I had people that don't speak English in those numbers, I know what's going to happen. You're drained by that. You cannot move forward easily.
And trust me, our teachers are already so drained.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you. Thanks very much for that. I appreciate it. Now, that's very logical. That's not attacking anything. It's a result. Remember the school district we talked about? We had them on in Springfield, Ohio, Charleroi. And they said, hey, I think the kids may have been Haitian in Charleroi. You get kids in a classroom. The numbers were astounding that were English as a second language in a small school district. It's overwhelming. That's all that you're going to do. What about the others? So it's not negative toward people. It's just saying people are being overwhelmed by this. Do people want to acknowledge that? That was someone who was speaking about it in an unbiased manner, I think. It's a reality. All right, it is the lightning round next. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Just hit me with that film that you think is a bit overrated or very overrated. Don't make it an obscure one. Oh, man. Jim in Egg Harbor Township. I got to challenge that one,
too. I was pushing him a little on the phone.
Oh, good. We got to Bruce in the Northeast. Challenge is coming up here. And Earl, I could live with that. Any superhero film, I would say, by and large, it's over. It's not.
Oh, boy.
It's not going to. Yeah, we'll get to that. 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That is right. Hit us with that film that you think is maybe drastically overrated or a bit overrated. We'll declare a winner, then a winner for the week. The Earl of Tacconi on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Earl, what's your film?
I know you're not a big fan of sci-fi, but J.J. Abrams' 2009 Star Trek movie. There are just so many things wrong with it. One, he tried to be cool and hip, and when they would film, they would shine flashlights directly into the lens and cause lens flare, which was annoying as hell and would give you a headache. But he said in an interview, he never saw any of the original TV series. He never saw the source material. And it's like, you know, how about having some respect for the fan base? It'd be like the Dom Giordano movie. Yeah, Don, he's a TV weatherman in Los Angeles. He's 5'3", bald, gay, and his husband is Ron instead of Roe. And it's like, you know, you're turning against the people that built the job in the first place.
Thank you, Earl. I love how you spilled all that out. That took a lot of thought. Let's go to Jim and Eckhart. I got to challenge this one. I think Henry will, too. Jim, what's yours?
Well, Don, before you challenge me on this one, the movie I'm going to say was up against Atonement. It was up against Juno, Michael Clayton, and There Will Be Blood. And the movie won the best picture. Was No Country for Old Men. And I felt that Michael Clayton was a better movie for that year. I really didn't think that No Country for Old Men really was the quality of the other one. You really didn't know who was doing what he was, how he was going.
We got a little transmission problem. I just say, I got to think about Michael Clayton. I only vaguely saw it. But No Country for Old Men is a really good film. So if the criteria is something else was better that year for film, that's a little hard.
I mean, that's it. Like, I like There Will Be Blood. I still like No Country for Old Men better.
Yeah. This is obscure, but what the heck? Tom in Rosemont is on the clock as a prime lawyer. Tom, what's yours?
John, this is an overrated movie that nobody ever actually talks about the plot because there is none. The Big Chill. If you want to get into that, listen to the soundtrack because that's good. The movie sucks.
Thank you, Tom. I don't think it's a great film either. I saw it. I kind of liked it. I'm not going to support it. All right. We got to get the winner of the week. So let's go Henry today.
I mean, shout out, Bruce. I would have picked you. But I'll go with Tom and Rosemont there at the end just because he's so angry about The Big Chill.
All righty. What's yours?
I like the Star Trek answer that we just had there, The English Patient. But I really like the way that it triggered really all of us with like a sign of cringe was the answer of The Pianist.
The Pianist, yeah. So you don't like that answer.
It's a controversial answer, though. Like, I feel like that's kind of what we're going for, no? Like, we want something that's, you know, something that we might not agree with necessarily, but they're saying they don't like it personally, but...
I thought it was misguided, but I could live with that. Okay, yeah. It was a call that spurred other stuff. Yes, without a doubt.
All right, then we'll go with it?
All right, let's go with it. With Gary slash what his real name is, let's put him in there. Okay, let's have the roll call.
All right, Dom, on Monday, we asked for all-time fictional famous or real addresses. We got Earl Tacconi, one with Third Rock from the Sun. That was Tuesday, because Monday we didn't do one, Dom. We had inauguration day.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so Wednesday, Iconic Clothing, Robert called in with the Jane Russell bra. That was designed by an architect, right? Yesterday, all-time conspiracy, Noah's Ark being in Turkey. Drew of Upper Darby explained that he actually went out to Turkey to investigate whether or not the Noah's Ark was indeed there. Then you just heard Friday. It was The Pianist by Gary of Newtown, who was controversial in his answer. And, So, Dom, we're going to throw them all into a hat. We'll get one sec. Let's give it a drum roll, please. I got a number three for Wednesday. Wednesday's winner being, sorry, this is confusing to me, Iconic Clothing, Robert in Lower Delaware.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, Jane Russell's bra.
Great call. It was a cantilever, the word of the week. Remember that as you're watching Eagles game this week. Henry, quick prediction, 5 seconds.
Close game, Eagles come out on top.
Dan? Eagles will crush them. Go Birds.
Close game.
30-14.
Oh, my God. That's playing to
the crowd. Lucky for Gary, they'll cover.
Okay. I don't even know about cover, and I predict very, very close. Shaky field goal kicker. They come out on somehow hook or crook.
Fun fact, Jake Elliott is the highest percentage field goal kicker in NFL playoffs history, but he's the worst extra point kicker ever. So,
all right. Keep that in mind. Tip from Henry. Mike is back. Mike Opelka sitting in for Rich today here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.